We want to welcome each of you that are with us today by way of the internet on YouTube, and pleased to have you with us at this at this time. This is Sunday morning. I have no idea what the day is. 16th. What? 16th. Sunday morning, February the 16th. I say that because, well, you never can tell when you're going to get a recording of it or when you're going to get something else. And at one time, I remember years ago, I never put dates on anything. I find stuff now, notebooks, CDs, cassette tapes, no date. I haven't got the slightest idea when I said whatever it was that is either written in that book or recorded on that CD, or, well, a CD puts it a little closer, but some of those things on cassette tapes could be way back there. So most of the time now, at least if I'm thinking about it, I will at least give the date. I know that on your computer, of course, you're watching, you've got your dates now, and realize all of that, but nonetheless, you can never tell when one of these are going to be recorded or downloaded or what have you. So this is February the 16th, right in the middle of the month. And we've just come through Valentine's Day. Hope all of you got a load of Valentine cards. Amen. All right, folks, I want to get right into our session today. I'm pausing and saying other things because there's something on the back and about, something seems like an announcement I wanted to make, and I can't think about it. I can't think of it. At the time I was thinking about it, it was important. Well, maybe I'll think of it as we go along. Anybody sitting here have anything we need to be talking about or any announcements we need to make? It's good to have Julie back home with us. She got in last night about 9:30, I think it was, rolled into Marshall. Drove down yesterday from Colorado, so it's good to have her home. That wasn't the announcement, however. Matthew 16. For some time now, we've been talking about I have been talking about the reality of being in Christ. And I'm pretty well dealing with that in all of the sessions that I deal with. Last year, since we have a lot of different teaching sessions, and I would find myself on three or four different searches at one time. And something on Sunday morning or some other place, and then that wherever else I was going out, you know, to some other fellowship. then on Wednesday, and then we were having pretty much every Monday a open forum, and then a Skype class with another group. And somehow or another, during the course of this year, all of that just began to come together in my mind and heart, pretty much under one heading. Now, we've looked at a lot of different views of Christ, under that heading, the reality of being in Christ. And the purpose of that has been to come to the Father's understanding, to the Father's view of this Christ in whom we dwell. Now, just talking about being in Christ brings up, I was thinking about that this morning driving up here from the house. What a tremendous, that word isn't getting anything done though, but what a tremendous, what a great reality, and what a great view coming into our heart of being, just being in Christ. And I was thinking as I was driving along and getting, just coming up here from my house, and I was thinking, my Lord, if believers, true believers, true born-again believers who are scattered throughout somewhere in the church world today, but those that are true believers, not just church goers or religious people. I mean, people who are born again and who truly know the Lord in that way, in the way of saved from sin and so forth. If believers really had a view, an understanding, if they really did something that the Lord had opened to them, Matthew 16, everyone, we'll get there in a minute, because this is where all this is found. And of course, Paul talks about it throughout his whole ministerial lifetime and writes all of his letters to the churches based upon really what I'm talking about, the reality of being in Christ. You cannot read one of his epistles and not come to see that. What is this man talking about? In whom? In Christ, in the beloved, throughout that. He's bringing the whole church world of his day into a union with a person that had, been born of a virgin, all of that, come, lived 33 years, 3.5 years ministering, went to the cross, died, but is now resurrected and now has come to dwell in people that he used to walk down the road with. I mean, the one that told his disciples where to throw their nets and sit down with them and break bread and all of this stuff with his disciples for 3.5 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, was now you just sit here and think of this, was now that same Jesus, that same one, not another one, was now living in them. Now you think about that a while. I get so caught up thinking about it that in my lifetime I have found a parking spot or a rest there and just pulled over and sat there. Because, hon, we hear these things sometimes, many of us do, throughout the whole body of Christ. You know we do. And then, unfortunately, many never hear these terms. But I'm talking about those who hear the terms. And it just kind of gets to be like a big windstorm, just blows by and goes this way. And I'm not saying that something bad takes place. I'm just saying that we get a hold of the terms, we believe that, we have some kind of a fixed idea as to what it means, and we should have. But it almost just kind of becomes a theological belief. Our theology changes. Instead of it being based on going somewhere one day, it's based upon being in someone right now. Being in Christ, in union with Christ. But, hon, our natural finite mind, I don't care how long you've been born again or how long somebody's been preaching or teaching, how many degrees they've got or don't have, I don't care. The natural mind cannot even come close to conceiving the reality of being in Christ. But the more we do understand from an inward view of Christ, given of God, the more we do understand, the more we are dominated. We're finding ourselves in the dominion of that reality. To the point that whether we're, you know, in the house, out of the house, you know, on the job, so to speak, off the job, wherever, that we're there in a God-given, ever-growing and expanding realization, reality of being there in Christ. And that's what we've been talking about. It's what I've been dwelling on in my mind and heart as the background of whatever it is I've been teaching. Times we're talking about an exalted view of Him. Yes, why? Because that's the one in whom we dwell. That's the one who dwells in us. And those two things become, in your mind and in your heart, they become one thing. One thing. Christ in you. You and I in Christ. The in Christ. You are in Christ. In Christ. The reality of being in Christ, in my mind, in my heart, brings up more of a corporate picture. You and I, all of us, His body in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You understand? It tells me that I'm not the only person in Christ. There is a corporate reality to our being in Christ. You'll find we or us or they, referring to believers, referring to the many of His body who are, by virtue of being in Christ, just one body. We can go on that for the rest of our life until that one becomes so clearly demonstrated and revealed in our soul that we actually live, not unto ourselves, but unto Him whose body we are, and each of us began to do that, and we do it as one body instead of a bunch of people trying to figure out how to serve the Lord. So you see, hon, it is an ever ongoing reality, and it's all based upon He's the foundation of all of it. So the whole business of our being in Christ is based upon Christ being in you. Because you're not in Christ waiting to be born again. You're born again. That's how you're in Christ. In union with Christ. Because you are born from above. Christ is in you. You are baptized into Christ by the Spirit of God. As many of us have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into His death, buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's Romans 6. You know that. What a tremendous thing. And as I've been looking at these things, I've got stacks of notebooks and stuff because I write a lot of things down. And more I see how that you cannot, by mere theological comprehension, study, scriptural studies, would take in the word theology. It's a larger word than that, but mere study does not and never will describe our union with Christ. Again, because why? Well, because just putting it in vernacular, we can all hear this morning, it's a threefold union. The threefold unit starts out, you shall know, this is in John 14, you know that, John 14, verse 20. Might as well start there with verse 1. You shall know in that day, and he was speaking of the day of his coming in spirit to indwell his body, the day of Pentecost. And just take that day off of the map and bring it into the reality of Him. The day of Pentecost. In that day you shall know. Number one, I am in my Father. Now we have talked about these things before, but see, I'm still like somebody standing outside. Just, you know, every now and then the door will open, which is Christ, and I get some kind of a view. But it's making an impression. It's making an image of itself, an image of understanding, an image of wisdom and knowledge. Those three terms finding their true and only definition and certainly substance in the person of Christ Himself. Christ is finding nothing in the term wisdom. The term wisdom finds everything in Christ. Well, it's not something about Christ. It's who Christ is, wisdom. This threefold union. You shall know that I'm in my Father. Now, hon, really now, what has that got to do with me and you? Of course, there's a lot of theology teaching in certain Christian theologies to this day that would tell you, well, nothing. That's true. That is true. In that day you'll know that I am in my Father. Number two, right after that, and you in me. Now see, that's just like to me breaking eggs, putting them in a bowl, and turning the mixer on. Because all of my suppositions, all of my, you know, picture of that, it's just blended. And then, right after that, in the same breath, in the same statement, "And I am in you." Good Lord. You will know I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. Now, darling, that's our salvation. That is the reality of being in Christ. That encompasses into itself our union with the Lord Jesus. Of course, our union with Him is based upon His union with us. And He initiates the union. But you see, the Father initiates the union through His Son. I mean, it isn't something that the Father does outside the Son, nor is it anything the Son does outside the Father. And what I'm telling you this morning, and what I wanted to tell you this morning, we've been picking out little thoughts here and there in this Matthew 16. And one of them is, Peter, let me just say this. Peter, there is no way, there is no thing, there is nothing that could have made you to know this. The only way you could possibly have known what you just said, what you just confessed, was because my Father, who's in heaven, showed it to you. And what has He said there? He said, there is no way with your finite minds that you can understand the reality of your union with me. Oh, yes, yes, yes. You may come to say, well, it starts when we're born again. It's this and this, that's that. And those are good things to know. I mean, we need to get some of that nailed down. That doesn't run and jump on us when we come out of our natural mother's womb. That takes a new birth. All of that's fine. But having said that, sweetheart, most of those who believe in new birth can't really define it. I mean, they'll call it everything from joining a good church, I'm telling you the truth, to, you know, getting my sins forgiven. Trying to describe what in effect is Christ in you by His eternal Spirit, born of the Spirit of God, born of the seed that is incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, the more you quote things from the Scriptures, the more you see, my Lord and my God, this thing is spiritual. This thing is a work of the Spirit. I'm not going to figure this out if I live to be 200 years old. Unless I see Him, this whole ride is going to be a theological teaching. Oh, He's real. What I'm talking about is real. But how real is it in my heart and soul every single day? I mean, there's no, the question here is not upon is Christ who he is. He is, my friend. The question is, do I know anything about that? What measure of that understanding is at work in my heart and soul? Because that's got to be by His Spirit too, hon. This whole thing is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's the same Spirit that deals with my soul as the one who deals with my heart, as the one who deals with my very mind. And now you might want to put all three of those words together. Fine. Point is, it works in us by the Spirit. The reality of being in Christ cannot be comprehended by our natural mind, hon. And yet, I suppose till the day that I die in the flesh, I'll be looking at the Scripture. I will be and saying, God, give me some kind of utterance that I may declare what is real in you, that I may declare it here out from the Word, out from the Scripture, and that hearts may be turned to see you in this way, rather than in the way of religion, waiting to die one day and maybe go to heaven if they've got enough stars in their crown. But to declare the reality of our union with you right now. And that's what we're sitting here talking about, or what I'm sitting here talking about. And so we're just going to continue. Because you can, it's wonderful. It's wonderful that I could sit here every day and all day, and even the thimbleful of a view of this reality that may be that size in me, I could talk about it the rest of my life and never run out of words. The question would be, are those words coming right out of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those words expressing something that is indeed an ongoing working, when I say ongoing, I mean 24 hours a day, living reality in my soul? Or am I teaching Bible lessons? What is it that I'm really sharing with the body of Jesus Christ? Because folks, you that are watching with us, you that are coming on the internet, you're that body that I'm talking about. And this gathering that we have here, that's that body that I'm talking about. And our whole desire is that we share the life, L-I-F-E, and light, L-I-G-H-T, the life and light of the reality to which we have come by the Spirit in Christ, that we may grow up together in love, in, you know, I didn't something we manufacture, in the love of God Himself, in all things, who is also the head of His own body, even Christ, that we may grow up into Him in all things. Knowing Him, hallelujah, knowing Him. I will build my church. Now that's Matthew 16. And after asking them, who do men say that I am? And we've looked at that. We've looked at that, and I'm sure we'll look at it again and again and again. But he says something here in Matthew 16. This is verse 13. Well, we've been looking at 13 through 20. And what he says here is, I will build my church. Yes, he says, upon this rock. I mean, hon, I'm telling you, we'll be there the rest of our life looking at three words at a time. I will build my church. So let's let that sink into us. Because there's another thing I want us to look at. And it all focuses upon him. And the reality of that, I mean, the setting of this, the setting, the actual chronological and time setting of this conversation that the Lord has with his disciples in and of itself is much more than coincidental. It's a tremendous thing. There's a tremendous view to it here, a tremendous view. A tremendous understanding of the order of the working of the Spirit of the Lord in Christ toward his disciples at that time, bringing them to what? Bringing them to what? And all of that having to do, preparing them to come from one relationship with him to another. You know, and I know, I mean, this, I'll put my finger here and keep it here, and then I'll know who I'll come back to. In the church world, Lord bless it, the church world, this full of Christians this morning and full in buildings that are full of Christians this morning, all over, everywhere. Would no doubt have as their greatest thought, their greatest desire, or their greatest, you know, of what would be the greatest thing that could possibly happen here in this place this morning, if Jesus walked in through the back door. Looking just like he did when he was talking to the disciples here. With his robes and sandals and everything. And would walk up and down the hall, the aisles, and would sit down beside somebody. And would say, bring all these little children that are in here, let me hold them. I mean, if that, you know, if the door opened and he comes walking in. Hand him a microphone. Now, what do you think would be the result of that? Without us spending another hour on it. But what do you think? What kind of church do you think that would soon become with the church that Jesus came to? And yet, for 3.5 years, at least 3.5 years, not only Israel, but finally just brought it down to 12 disciples. Brought what down to them? Him preparing them. In some case, trying to prepare, in the other case, maybe preparing them because of what is said right here. Who do you say that I am? Him preparing Israel, the Jews, and him preparing his disciples. For what? For an altogether other, a much better relationship with himself than he could ever give them walking up and down the roads with them. sitting down with them around the dinner table, or all of the other times that's him, he's there, out on the ocean, on the sea, in the boat, wherever, and using all of those times and everything he did during those times, and what he pulled them aside to some hill, wherever, whatever hill he chose at that time, to talk to them about a relationship of which they knew absolutely nothing and could not know and would not know until he went to his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and return on the day of Pentecost to dwell in them by his Spirit. That same Jesus now dwelling in them. And yet, by the millions today, there are Christians who would give anything that they have got, go to any place to which travel was possible, to be able to walk down the street with him, like Peter did, like James did, like John did. No, not like Paul did. Paul never knew him in that form. Never. And yet, it is Paul, not Peter, not James, not John. It is Paul who defines the church, the Jew, the Gentile, in Christ by way of the cross. It is Paul who deals with the believer, raised together, seated together, established in heaven, in Christ. It is Paul who understood and preached, even to, at that time, in some cases, disbelieving disciples. Yes, for a period of time. Had a hard time with it. They still saw Jew and Gentile. Well, but it was Paul who declared Christ as they had never seen him, as they had never known him, as the disciples could not know him by flesh and blood. Flesh and blood has not shown this unto you. And yet, I'm telling you, I don't want to just keep sitting here beating my drum, but honey, the whole church world would get right back in. I mean, and if they could get on some big plane and go over to and go over and walk around the wall of Jerusalem and walk up and down, you know, and if they could do that, man, they'd really shell out for it. And that's just for them to go and walk on the ground where Jesus walked 2,000 years ago. I got news for you, darling. If you're born again, he lives in you. He lives in you. And it's not about walking around on rocky streets or any other kind of streets. Now, I'm talking to you about the reality of being in Christ. And sometimes, hon, it's almost frightening to realize how few believers have heard about that, have even been challenged concerning that reality of our being in Him and the foundation of that, Christ in you. This same Jesus, Christ in you. Now, not walking beside you, living in you. See, that's the whole point. Natural religion has even watered down what they call heaven and their view of heaven, whenever that may be in the never time to come. But they've even watered that down to where it's supposed to be a place where Jesus is there and God the Father is there, and we'll be living there. We've got a cottage there, our castle there, we've got something there, and we'll be living there with them. We'll all be in the same big old town. It's going to be a big one. Now, I'm not really trying to make fun of anything. I'm trying to tell you what the natural mind does to a reality of which Christ Himself is truly the substance. But it's not about everybody living in the same town in our own house and just go along like we're doing now, except then we'll be in that kind, you know. I will build my church. It's right here in those verses. We've read it and read it and read it. There it is. I will build my church. And I'm going to take some sessions that are actually will be teaching sessions and look at I will build my church and where that's dealt with. One of the places that it is dealt with, let me see, I think it's on page 7 here. Yes. And this is in Ephesians. And this is the second chapter of Ephesians. So let's look at that for a moment. Let's just look at that. I'm not going to give it to you in a lesson form, but that's all right. We're talking about the reality of being in Christ. And with what we're talking about, let's look at this. Ephesians, the second chapter, Ephesians chapter 2. I think I've got the rest of that right here. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, and we could begin at verse 1 and go through 7, but let's not do that just now. Let's deal with this other first, and then it would be appropriate to coming back to 1 through 7. Ephesians 2:13, writing to the Gentiles. But now, and telling them from about verse 11, 12, 13, that they were once in far off, had nothing to do with God, knew nothing about God. They were cast away. They were far off. They were called the uncircumcised by those who are the called circumcision of the flesh, made in the flesh. And he's talking to both of them here. And he's talking to the Gentile. It says, but now in Christ Jesus. He starts out in verse 1 of Ephesians 2, and it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And then he talks about the actual reality of what takes place when we come to be born again. And that's there. And then he goes on, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He is our peace. Now the point here is not trying to bring the Gentiles and the Jews together in peace with one another. No, it's bringing them, both of them, by way of the cross, into a place of peace with God, which is a whole lot different than two individuals having peace with one another, or two countries, or two generations are having peace with one another. Now, see, that's all still based upon something that is sweet and earthly and something that can be disrupted at most any time. Now, he's talking about that peace, that rest. He's actually talking about what Israel would know as Sabbath. Sometimes far off, for he is our peace. How so? Well, because he hath made both, Jew and Gentile, one. One what? Well, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. One creation, one new creation, one body of Jesus Christ, one house of God the Father. One. First time anything has ever been said like that about Jew and Gentile at that time. At that time. I mean, that's enough for the Jews to try to kill him, and the Gentiles just laugh at him and say, "You're an idiot." Just like in our modern day world right now, to look at the Arab nations and look at the Jewish state and say, not just say, well, we're going to help them find a way, a compromise somehow to live with one another without trying to kill each other and allow each other to live their own thing and go their own way and be a separate state, and that's what they would call peace. I mean, that's what the United States would gladly call peace. But that's not what we're saying here. It's much more than that. Much more than that, huh? Who hath made both one. Now, you try to go to the United Nations and convince them that could ever be even close to being so, hath made both one. Because see, they never have any understanding of who the one is. They've always got to picture it as some kind of a man. Human man. You need to think about these things when we read this, because this is really a miracle that you are part of. Right now, sitting here in this room. And that the church is. And yet know so very little about it. Of this business of being one. One body, one house. Not 15 million, one. One. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Always it's going to be in this order. Our union with Christ is always going to be in this order. Always, folks, in this order. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. That's always the order. He doesn't take the first and try to make something out of it better than what it is. No, he takes it away, brings an altogether new creation, of whom Christ himself is the light, the glory, the foundation, the wall. Yes, the substance, the life. Brings in an altogether new man, Christ, whose body we are through his death, burial, and now his resurrection. Him living in that body. His body, the church. You understand that? It's not made over out of anything. I will build my church. The disciples had never heard anything like that in their life. Never. And most of the time they'd go off scratching their head. The Jews would too. What is this man talking about? My Lord, it took Herod 46 years to just remodel it. And he is going to do this in 3 days. Let's just kill him. Which is what he had just said. Which is what he has just said he'll bring the whole thing out of. In 3 days, I will raise it up. And those are the two things, because I know the time is getting away, but that's fine with me. Those are the two things that I'm talking with you about, that I'm going to keep hammering on as the Lord keeps hammering in my soul about it. First, I will build my church. But how supernatural is that? Secondly, the rest of the printouts here, beginning in John chapter 2, verse 13 through verse 21. John 2, 13 through 21. What does he say there? I will raise it up. In 3 days, I will raise it up. I will build my church. Good Lord. How? It's not a remodel job. It's not take the old one and make it better. Even though the old one was a type and shadow of the altogether new. But somehow along the way, Israel lost its idea of new, if they ever had it. Gentiles didn't know, period. I will raise it up. See? I will build my church. I will raise it up. Hun, all I wanted to talk about this morning in a roundabout way and just keep trying to bring it up is that it's all about our relationship with Him. It's not about anything we've done, ever could do, but who He is and according to who He is, what He hath done. No, I'm not talking about what He hath done. He's blessed us here and blessed us there and give us this and give us that. See, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about His church, not all the fullness that is there in it. It's not time to talk about that yet. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the house itself. We're talking about you and I sitting right here this morning in this room. Lord bless us. I will build my church. Now, we'll look at it, we have looked at it, and all that we're doing is, the Lord is doing is bringing a new focus on a whole lot of things in my heart that have been going on for a long time. But who is the treasure in the house? Well, it's Him. Where is the treasure? It's in Him. How is that opened? Through the knowledge of Him. Who gives that? Only the Spirit of Him. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Glorious thing here. So he says, hath broken down that wall of partition. And you go right on through that. Verse 14 to verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, this is Ephesians 2, verse 15, having abolished. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both, and that's Jew and Gentile, to one another. No, unto God in one body by the cross. He brought the Jew and the Gentile into one body. That was the body of Christ's death. That was the body that bore the whole death, the body of death. Paul was saying, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Jesus did. He took that whole body of humanity into his body. And he didn't do that to reconcile humanity to humanity. He did that to reconcile them unto God by bringing them to death. Because there's only one that will ever be reconciled unto God, and that's the Son of God himself. His was full reconciliation. Huh, nobody has ever come out of heaven but him. Nobody has ever descended but him. And the one who descended is the one who ascended, and he did that for you and for me, and presented us who are in him. And this is an ever ongoing presentation. Even those who are being born again right now today, somewhere around the world, come into this reality that we're sitting here talking about. This is not something that's going to happen one day. This is a reality that has all that Christ already is. And when you're born from above, that's what you come into. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. So let's look at the last verse here where we're going with this. This is part of a lesson that we would lay out. But verse 20 says, and also are builded. But what did he do with those two up here? First, he slew both of them. He brought the Jew and the Gentile into one body by the cross, put them both to death, and one new man came out in the resurrection and created his own body, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Never existed before. No, not Jew, not Gentile, not this, not that, not any of the traits of humanity are used. That's not the material with which he says, I will build my church. I will raise it up in 3 days. Quickened together, raised together, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, hon. What is it here? Verse 20, one in whom all the building fitly framed. See, we want to talk about that at some point in time. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I don't know, one of the CDs, but this is where I am right now. In him. Isn't that great? In him. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom? See, look how this reads. Because when we visualize these things, we wouldn't say in whom, we'd say upon whom or on top of which. But that isn't the point here with a foundation and a building. It's the reason you need to bring it back every now and then to his body. That's his body. That's his body. That's his body. He's the foundation of it, not because our feet stand on something. He's the foundation of his body. Because he lives in it. He is the life of it, the all of it. I mean, come on, darling. Well, it's really the same thing when you're looking at building and being built up. You've got to really view that not as construction, but rather an organism, a body, a creation. When you talk about building up, when you talk about this right here, built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, built upon. But then it turns right around and says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple, again, in the Lord. And just about the time you've got a good physical picture of this, then Paul says something like this, and it just shatters the whole thing. Of course, if we view some of these words in their original translation, it it would probably help us, because it doesn't mean what the English word means, you know, something sitting atop of something, but rather integrated with it, in the thing. In whom the whole building fitly framed. And then again, verse 22, in whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I will build my church. I will raise it up. 3 days. My Lord. So you can't kick this off in the future, past the future, beyond where it's written right here. I will raise it up. I will raise it up. And yet it is true today, 2,000 years after it was said, as it was the day it was said. The reality of it, because believers are still being quickened together as one body. You and I are sitting here. We're the same body of Jesus Christ as that body to which Paul ministered throughout his whole life. Same church, same body. No, not same earthen vessels. Same church, same body. The early church. I wish people would quit saying that. The early church. That means there's got to be a later church and then another church. And that's all stupid. I mean, honey, there's one church, one body, one church. That's it. And the structure of it and the foundation of it is not the natural bodies of believers. In any age, in any period of time. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And that's right where we are this morning, hon. May the Lord our God open the eyes of our understanding that we can get more than just a glimpse, but that we can come in our heart and soul to a gaze, G-A-Z-E, to a gaze, to them that look for Him. Shall He be made manifest? Shall He be revealed as the very substance of the second? The new creation in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, the reality of being in Christ. What a reality that is, hon. What a reality that is. Because it is one that shall never end. Never. Amen. Thank you for being with us this Sunday morning. It's good to be with you. During all of our sessions. And we trust that the working and the ending of that work, and that all of our sessions coming together to turn our hearts along with your hearts to know Him in this glorious union of our salvation. So, if we can help you in any way, please let us know. Remember, June conference, and I'm rather certain that it's probably on the bottom of your screen right now. And soon we'll be on the home page with instructions and information. But that is the last day of June, the last week of June, which is 23rd, 22nd, 22nd through 6, yeah, 22nd through 26, starting as a fellowship meeting on Monday night right here. For you who are coming in on Monday, and for some who have come in during the weekend, you're welcome to come. Welcome to come. We have some who come here, get here on Saturday, some on Sunday. The actual teaching conference begins, it begins on Monday night, but the classes begin Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And there's two classes put together every morning. So we're in meetings, from 9:30 to noon, and we take a break between those periods of time. And then there's the third session that is in the evening time. We have breakfast, we have supper time and breakfast also. All kind of information, and you can certainly come to the website. You can call us and talk to us. And that's the conference in June. We'd love to have you here. You're more than welcome. And if there's any other way we can help you, why, thank you for getting a hold of us and let us know. And thank you for who are helping us reach out with this gospel throughout the church and around the world, which is what we're doing right now, and it's what you're receiving right now. This outreach of the gospel. And we thank you who are helping us with that and who are supporting to that end. Thank you so much. And may the Lord richly bless you. Amen. That's it.